Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score here on Highlands. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be speaking with Brendan Herbie-McDade for the latest of our previews of the Northwest 10K, which gets underway on Monday week, which will be held on Monday week. Also on the show as well, we'll be recapping the action from last night in the Ulster Under 20 Football Championship. Disappointment for Donegal, but Derry and Tyrone are both progressing into the final, which will be played next Wednesday. There's a huge game for Northwest Counties, of course, in the Ulster Senior Championship semi-final this coming Sunday afternoon. Donegal are playing Tyrone. We'll be getting the neutral view. Former Derry manager and All-Ireland winner in 93, Damien Cassidy, is on the programme to look ahead to that game. But first up, as we always do on a Thursday, we're going to start with football, with the soccer, and the games for Finn Harps and Derry City this weekend. Finn Harps are hosting Cork City at Finn Park tomorrow evening, kicking off at 6 o'clock. The game, of course, is a reverse fixture due to Turner's Cross not available. And in the top flight, Derry City are looking to build in the win over Pats as they make the long trip south to the RSC grounds to take on Waterford in one of five top flight Premier Division fixtures. And to look ahead to those games now and the rest of the matches in the Premier Division, I'm joined by former Finn Harps player Joe Boyle. Joe, a very good evening, and as always, welcome along to Highland.
Thanks, Oisin. Good evening.
Well, listen, Joe, Finn Harps have a home tie on a Friday night, the reverse fixture of Cork City. Cork coming to town. Once again, just to remind our listeners that there's an earlier kickoff of 6 o'clock. And we will, of course, have live updates here on Highland. The last time these two sides met, success Edigon scored a cracker of a goal in a game which ended in a share of the spoils. Cork are, Joe, the pace setters in the First Division. What can we expect on Friday? Is it going to be more of the same, or is it going to be a different type of game?
No, I'd expect more of the same. You know, Cork have been going well. They've not lost any in their last five. They've two draws sandwiched in there between three wins. Now, disappointingly for Harps, there was two losses in the last two games. And, you know, that's something that Darrell will be looking to turn around this weekend. Coming into a home game now for Finn Harps, I think it's really, really important that they get focused on that and look to try and get those 3 points, because you're home this week and then next week then you're home to Treaty, and 6 points against Cork and Treaty would be really, really positive step forward for Harps, considering where they are in the league. You know, I think we would be disappointed if they've lost the last two matches, but we still must take into account that Harps are sitting third. They are now in the league, level on points with UCD. And, you know, it has been a positive start. There's been a few losses and a few draws in there that Darrell have been maybe hoping for maybe an extra 2 points or an extra point in there. But it's a big, big game and a great chance to get refocused after those last two defeats.
Yeah. So Cork City, listen, Joe, they haven't lost this season. They've drawn four of their 11 matches and won the rest. You fully believe by what you're saying there that Finn Harps are capable of giving the Corkmen a first defeat of the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a Harps supporter going into the game, that'd be my mentality at home. You know, Finn Park hasn't been played on the last couple of weeks, and with the kind of weather changing a little bit, it should make the pitch a lot more firmer and a lot more easy to play on as well. And, you know, Cork are a good side. When you go through their squad, there's a lot of really good players there in that Cork squad. So, you know, it's important for Harps to try. And if they're serious contenders for looking to get into that playoff position, then they've really got to look at trying to take something out of Cork this week. And, you know, a victory would be a huge boost to Harps and bring them right up close to Cork at this early stage of the season.
Yeah, well, listen, Joe, in the first game of the season, the pitch, everybody felt that the condition of the pitch was a factor in the game and played to the advantage of Harps in that tie. But now maybe if the pitch is in better condition and the way Cork are playing their football, would it be the reverse of that? Maybe it might be advantage Cork?
Yeah, but my thing is, when I look at Harps there, I know they haven't been playing the best football now in the last couple of weeks, but I do look at the team there, and you know, no more so than our captain, Tony McNamee, where he's been inspirational with the couple of goals he's got. He's got a couple of big results for them there. You know, you look at Dave Cawley in the middle of the field, where to me, Dave Cawley's a really, really good footballer in there. And that's something that I would look to Hearts to try and play a little bit more. You know, Patrick Ferry in the middle of the field as well. When you look at Ryan Rainey, a man that's played a lot of football in round the Premier Division as well. These are all good footballers. And, you know, Noah Baba as well at the back, when Noah gets on the ball and goes to play. You know, we know that Tourish has been back and has made a difference in the last couple of weeks. So Hearts have fellas who can get the ball down and play. The reverse side of that is when you look at Cork side, and you know, in particular, Jack Doherty, would have seen him, and every time he's come to Finn Park, he's nearly scored. And, you know, that's something that Hearts are going to have to try and make sure doesn't happen again. But he's a danger for Cork, and Cork have dangerous men all over the pitch. When you look at it, you know, Lyons is there. You've got to look at making sure that we're all aware as well of Evan McLaughlin, who's, you know, former Derry player, how well he's done. You know, Coleman's a decent player there as well, and Bargrave. You know, these are all good players, and, you know, they're at Cork for a reason, because Cork will be seriously looking to get back up to that Premier Division, and it's something that's top of the agenda. I know they've been out of Turner's Cross in the last couple of weeks, but they're due to get back in now at the beginning of next month, and maybe it's a good time for Harps now to get this match and get refocused and get ready and try and get above UCD into that second place. And maybe can they look to pull Cork back into that mix with themselves and UCD? And, you know, it's no better thing than beating a team at home.
Yeah, and just finally on the Harps, looking at the fixtures, Harps next big, well, you could call it the next big game involving the sides around them at the top is obviously UCD. That's coming up in the middle of May, but between this week and then, Harps have three home fixtures. So it could be an important few weeks if they were to take a maximum 9 points out of them three home games against Cork, Tralee and Longford before they meet UCD. That wouldn't be a bad turnaround, would it, Joe?
Oh, look, it's particularly with the journeys that Harps have, like a draw away from home. Like, if you look at the hours that they have to spend on the bus prior to having to go to play on a Friday evening, you know, travelling down the country, you know, that's why Harps have really got to target their home form, try and get as many points as they can on the board at home, because it's going to be really, really difficult going away from home. Like, you know, you look at travelling to Cove, look at travelling to Cork, travelling to Kerry, travelling to Wexford. You know, these are really, really taxing journeys on the players. So it's a priority for Darren and the team to try and make sure they focus on getting those home results. And as you say, heading into that UCD game, you know, that's one of your closest away games. There should be four in the Premier Division. That was one of your furthest away games in the Premier Division because it was in the south side of Dublin. But, you know, for Harps now, and particularly leading into these next couple of games, and, you know, taking on UCD, they should have no fears of taking on UCD after the performance in Finn Park there a couple of weeks ago. And again, looking at the Cork game, yes, it was a difficult night for them when they played them earlier in the season, but they got a draw out of that match. And if Harps are on tune and everybody's firing, then I do fancy them to go on anybody and beat anybody in the league.
Yeah, once again, 6 o'clock is the kickoff time. Friday night, Fun Harps against Cork City, and a reversal of a venue due to Turner's Cross not being available. But reports this week are saying that they will be able to play matches again on them as from the 1st of May. We will have live updates with Jeremy Doherty here on Highland as from that 6 o'clock kickoff time. Now, the other games in the First Division, Athlone are playing Cove Ramblers. Bray Wanderers take on Kerry FC, and UCD, who we just mentioned, they're going to have a tough game. They're going to Limerick to play Tralee United on Friday evening as well. While Longford are taking on Wexford FC on the game on Saturday. Longford, of course, bottom of the table, currently 5 points off second from bottom Kerry. Now, into the Premier Division, Derry City had two big back-to-back home games last weekend. They lost the first to Shamrock Rovers, despite playing exceptionally well in the first half, and then they got through a dogged game against St Patrick's Athletic to take the one. They're on the road at Waterford on Friday night, and going to Waterford, Joe, how big a result for Derry was that on Monday against Pats? How crucial was it for them that they got those 3 points?
Oh, I think that's a brilliant bounce back for them. You know, at half time in the Derry match, I was really looking forward to the second half, thinking Derry could push on here. Unfortunately, Shamrock Rovers did, and it showed their quality that Shamrock Rovers have, in particular Aaron Green, where he got those couple of balls and just finished those chances really, really well. But Derry were right in that match in the first half, but just a poor second half cost them dearly. But to bounce back against St. Pat's on Monday night was a huge, huge result for them. And I know that's a key thing. And I think even more important for me was that Mullen scored, as well as Hoban, because traditionally in all the matches so far this season, when Derry have been doing well, bar one or two matches, it's been the goal scoring burden has fallen onto Hoban. But again, to see Mullen score two the last night was very, very important. And that was a crucial one where he got that second one to put them 2-0 up. Then Pats got one back, but then they pushed on. Then Mullen got a second one quite quickly. So it was a great, great result for Rory Higgins for the Derry team. And it's something that they've now got to push on. But don't mistake the Waterford. You know, Waterford are going well. They're in good form. Long has got them playing well and got them in really, really good form. And he's got them where they've been quite difficult to beat. Now, have Derry got the firepower and the capability to beat them? And again, I think they do. And it's somewhere like next to Hearts that they've got to really target and getting 3 points, particularly if they want to stay at that top end of the table. Because when you look at it now, Shelburne had a draw on Monday night with Shamrock Rovers. But you just look at the table now, how closely they're all packed there with Rovers, Derry and Bowes all sitting on 19 points. And then Galway and Pats on 15, you know. It's crucial now that Derry hang in there. This run of matches now that they stay in that leading pack. And again, no better place than go to Waterford and pick up 3 points.
Yeah, it seems to me that the top four are all playing each other at the moment, because Shelburne took on Shamrock Rovers on Monday night. They've got St Pat's coming up now this Friday night. And then if we jump forward a couple of weeks, they've got Shelburne to come on Monday the 6th, or the Derry City, excuse me, to come on Monday the 6th of May. So it's also a big period for the likes of Shelburne, and particularly Friday against Pats, another big Dublin derby.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, there's a big demand on the players. And, you know, when you play a big match like Derry played on Friday night against Shamrock Rovers, you've got really less than 48 hours of a turnaround to get back up to speed for Pats. And that's what's coming thick and fast for all these teams now at the minute. You know, when you look at Derry's next run of matches, Waterford, Galway, Shelburne, Bowes, Pats, Shamrock Rovers, Sligo. Like, that's a heavy, heavy schedule. And, you know, everywhere now that Rory and the team can pick up 3 points, they'll certainly be looking for that.
Yeah, they certainly will. Do you agree with what the general consensus is, that Shamrock Rovers haven't hit top gear yet, and when they do, they will eventually win the league again?
Yeah, but I do think there's a couple of teams, and, you know, just looking at Shelburne the last night, the pitch wasn't great in Talca Park. You know, it's not usually what you'd associate with Talca Park. Usually the pitch is good. But it was a tough, tough match for them. But the other thing is, the other teams now are in a position where they're able to step up and take on Shamrock Rovers. They mightn't all beat them, but Shamrock Rovers aren't going to have many matches, and teams now are getting used to playing against them and how they play. What Shamrock Rovers does have over some of the other teams is the depth of their squad. Like, you know, they can't bring on that extra 3 or 4 players that if they're having a bad night, where they can empty the bench. And, you know, that's a big one. Like, you know, they brought on Johnny Kenny and Gaffney the last night in Derry to supplement with Aaron Green up front. You know, that's a heavy, heavy hitting forward line that you've got. And when you think you've got one of them quiet and are calmed down for the night, next thing they spring these fellas off the bench, and that's rather, rather difficult for any team.
Yeah, of course it is. Two other fixtures, Dundalk taking on Bohemians, and Sligo Rovers are on the road. Finally, they go to Weavers Park to play at Drogheda United. Sligo haven't won in their last 4 games. They've drawn the last 2, but lost to the big Dublin sides, Pats and Shamrock Rovers, during that period as well. So Rovers will be looking to get back up on the horse again with a victory on the road this weekend.
Yeah, look at it's been difficult for John and Sligo, where, you know, they've had a couple of really good results and they've had a couple of challenging results in there as well. This is an important week now for, because you'll be thinking in that lower half of the table where Drogheda will be one of those teams in there. And it's very interesting to see that Noel King is now coming to take over the former or the last team that he managed in the League of Ireland, where Finn Harrison is now taking over at Dundalk. And boy, has he got a job on his hands. But again, looking at how Dundalk played there recently against Sligo down in Sligo, there wasn't very much in that match. And, you know, they put up a decent performance there. So it's going to be very, very difficult to pick up points for any team. And particularly a team like Sligo, it's important that they beat Drogheda. You know, Drogheda have only had 1-1 so far in 5 draws. So, you know, John and the team have really got to try and push on and make sure that they get that win, and try and pick up all 3 points. Yeah. Because 3 points could keep them right in contention and keep them up close to those European places. And I think that's where Sligo are looking to try and build their season towards.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Joe, as always, it's good to catch up. And we look forward to what hopefully will be a good weekend of football for the North West sides. We'll talk to you soon, Joe.
Thanks, Oisin.
It's always good to catch up with Joe Boyle. And again, just a reminder, listeners, we will, of course, have updates with Jeremy Doherty and Declan Boyle will be in the press area, the commentary position for Highland tomorrow night, and we'll have regular updates as from that 6 o'clock kickoff time as Harps host Cork. In the meantime, I see there's another key meeting for Finn Harps this weekend. Following feedback from shareholders and supporters, the Finn Harps special general meeting scheduled for the Sunday the 28th at 7 o'clock in the Villa Rose Hotel in Ballybuffet will now be open to all shareholders, supporters and the wider Donegal community. The meeting will provide an update on the stadium project and engage with attendees on fundraising initiatives. And I also see that Derry City have been warned about a future disruption at matches at the Brandywell. In a statement this week, the league said, following incidents at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium during the SSE or Trusty Men's Premier Division fixture between Derry City and Shamrock Rovers last Friday the 19th of April, an independent disciplinary committee has imposed a suspended partial stadium closure at the Brandywell Stadium. The independent disciplinary committee determined that if the same or similar offence occurs at the stadium in the course of the next home game in the Premier Division, then the sanction will become effective. The committee has also issued two fines relating to the above-mentioned incident and the incident which involved a pyrotechnic on the field of play. There will be silverware lifted this coming weekend in the Northwest at junior level because the Ulster Junior Cup final is taking place at Ballyar on Saturday. Letterkenny Rovers of the Donegal Junior League are up against the runners-up in the Premier Division and then he's shown Junior League one Crana Hearts. And there's a 6 o'clock kickoff there down at Ballyar on Saturday. Extra time and penalties required in that one. Now to Gaelic games. It's going to be another busy weekend. Our feature matches, of course, from Celtic Park and Derry on Sunday. It's the Ulster Senior Football Championship semi-final. Donegal are taking on Tyrone. There's a 2 o'clock throw-on time and the game, of course, will be live here on Highland. We're going to preview that match now. Donegal, of course, had that emphatic one, scoring 4 goals to knock the favourites Derry and the holders out of this season's Ulster Championship. While Tyrone were very good in the first half, but just about scraped through after extra time against Cavan. To preview this game, we're going to get the neutral view now and go into the Oakleaf County of Derry, where we're joined by former senior manager of Derry and 93 All-Ireland winner, Damien Cassidy. Damien, you're welcome back to the airwaves of Highland. How are you doing?
Not too bad, Oisin. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Have you got over your disappointment of that defeat to Donegal last Saturday?
No, that'll linger for a wee while now. There'll definitely be a residue that'll take a bit of time to shift now. There's still the post-mortems are going thick and fast. And, you know, fortunately for Derry, there's a decent window to get that all flushed out of their system, you know. So, no, time's a healer.
Can you get back on track again, Damien?
That's a good question you're asking. Can Derry get back on track? They will bounce back, you know, because they're going to be hurt. Derry have, you know, Derry's not an old team by any stretch of imagination, and they'll definitely bounce back in terms of getting to the latter stages of the championship. The question that really remains, you know, are they now good enough to do that? And I think. I think that's going to be a question that they'll eventually find out later on down the line. I don't see them myself personally making that breakthrough this year. That's not to say they can't, you know, make it through to the final, you know. And I know when you're saying when you're in a final, it's a 50-50 game and all of that type of stuff. But it's hard to see how teams that you looked at who've won All Irelands, stuff like what happened last Saturday even doesn't happen to them.
Yeah.
And people can say, "Oh, we'll learn from it, and we'll look back, and we can do analysis and stuff like that." But I can't recall recently any teams who've won All Irelands in the modern game who've had a tanking, you know, that essentially Saturday night was tactically going on and won an All Ireland, you know. So it's against them.
Yeah. Listen, the credentials of Derry, without a doubt, have now been dented following that defeat and that emphatic performance by Donegal last Saturday. But the credentials of Donegal, it's amazing that you're 5-1 underdogs, Damien, going into a game on Saturday, and then 2 hours later you're finding yourself as possibly red-hot favourites for Ulster. The credentials of Donegal have just shown.
Yeah, I know, and it's, I mean, we were having this conversation last week, and, you know, I said to him, Donegal now Division 1 team, they won Division 2, they can throw it fairly comfortably. And that final was tight against Armagh, and as we know, there's a number of players that didn't play in that game that performed in the game last Saturday evening. So Donegal are Division 1 team, so it shows you how foolish people are, you know, at times when you're carried away with the whole rock and roll and the romanticism that can sometimes follow teams, you know, and that gap, you know, that was between the two teams was much, much closer, and I did say that last week. However, it doesn't, you know, Donegal's performance was, you know, was top drawer. Everything that they wanted to go right went right for them. And it wasn't that they brought anything new to the table, tactically to the game. You know, they're one of their strong tactics, and has been repeated time upon time, has been that kick out of the top. I can still see Michael Murphy as far back as 8 or 9 years ago up in Celtic Park, and this long kick out going and him positioning himself out on the, you know, the left hand side of the keeper's kick out and flicking the ball on to these runners coming from the left half back, centre half back, and groups, you know, to anticipate that break ball or flick on. You know, so they didn't bring any new tip, but what they did was they looked closely, and that kick out was set up for Derry, and then the obvious question is why had Derry not anticipated it, and then more importantly at half time, why did they not fix that immediate and obvious problem? But that's for Derry to answer on another day. Donegal are now a team that really believe in what Jim has set in front of them, and they are absolutely fully committed to it. And when you get a group of players, you're absolutely fully committed. And whenever they what they've done has been reinforced by the performance and the outcome of that performance, you're moving into a different level. And the other thing about Donegal that cannot be ignored is the absolute consistency they've brought to the table from the start of the league right through to now. So I think we can be assured that consistency is going to remain through the Ulster Championship to get at least into the Ulster Championship final, you know. And I personally expect them to push on through in that, which brings us to the weekend when they play Tyrone.
Yeah. Is Tyrone going to play a different sort of game to Derry this weekend? Are Tyrone going to allow the same amount of room and space that Donegal got against Derry last weekend?
No, because Tyrone don't play the same type of game as Derry, so they don't. They just don't play that type of football that Derry have developed over the last 2, 3, and 4 seasons. And the Tyrone's. Tyrone's difficulty is in contrast to Donegal's, where Donegal's have been seriously consistent. You know, this Tyrone team has been one really good performance and then crash and burn. You know, one really good performance and crash and burn. And even within the game last weekend, we had the two faces of Tyrone football. We had a superb first half, and then the second half was, you know, Cavan just started to run over the top of them, and they ended up full time into extra time. You know, so there's a lot more questions on the Tyrone team going into this game than there is in the Donegal team. And we know, I think we can be absolutely confident that we know we're going to get a performance in Donegal. The question will be, can Tyrone get up to the levels that Donegal are at? Can they match that? And can they be consistent over 75 minutes? Because that's really where Tyrone are. So, and I don't think that they'll be able to do that. I expect Donegal to get through the game. I don't think they'll win the game by an awful lot, because I don't think Donegal will be able to replicate that intensity they brought last weekend. But at the same time, they will still get themselves to the level that's required to get the performance and the result on the day.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a very quick turnaround here. Donegal have had 8 days. Tyrone have had 7 days, but Tyrone have been hampered as well by extra time, Damien, which doesn't help their cause.
It is. There's no doubt about it. That is a factor in our games. You know, when you're working with amateur players, you have to go out the door to work on a Monday. That's definitely a big factor. But at the same time, it's pretty much an even Steven, situation for both teams psychologically. I know Tyrone have a day less and then extra time. But at the level of the 20 players at now, I don't think that should be or nor will be an issue come the game at the weekend. I think they will boil down to performances, you know, and that, you know, we have alluded to, you know, Tyrone are different from Derry in that You know, they have got two or three forwards who are difficult to mark. The runs are difficult. Their movement and the way they can change direction and change pace quite quickly brings a different, you know, equation for Donegal to try and come to terms with. However, I still think they've got the personnel to mark those people. You know, Brenton did a fantastic job at the fullback on McGuigan at the weekend. He has consistently proved himself been capable of doing that. Just had a stand-in fullback in the league final who has proven himself to be reliable as well. You know, so he's another marker that's in that fullback line. You know, so just have the players to pick up those individuals within Throne and try and minimise their impact. You know, so whilst Throne, you know, will do what you would expect to see from Throne, they'll bring that level of passion with them. But the big question, I've said it already, is it's just an unpredictable, unreliable type of performance that Throne can throw in.
Yeah. Obviously, going by what you've said over the last 8 or 9 minutes, you're tipping Donegal to reach the final. Who do you think they'll be playing in that decider come the 12th of May?
It will be Armagh. It will be Armagh. I just cannot see Down matching Armagh at all. I've seen Down playing a number of times over the course of the league in the league final and that championship came against Anthem, you know, and they will lift their performance. But the weakness in the Down team is their physicality. They genuinely don't have the physicality of a top team. They don't have the physicality of an Armagh team or a Donegal team. They don't have the size in the middle of the field. You know, an awful lot of the players are similar. They're massively mobile. There's no getting away with that. They are massively, massively mobile. They're well structured. You can see clearly what they're trying to do in terms of holding with and these angled runs. But they don't have that same power. And power counts for county football. All those top teams who've been at the top end and won championships are predominantly carrying a lot of big, powerful, athletic men. And that's where Down's absolute weakness lies going forward. And that, you know, they're in, you know, this is, I suppose, the last chance to learn. I'm trying to get that time correct to get the Ulster final, which will get them into Sam. I could be wrong on that, but irrespective, I just cannot see how. I just look at it and I just can't see where Down are going to win this game at.
Yeah. Well, listen, Damien, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you and enjoy watching the football at the weekend.
Thank you, Oisín. I look forward to it. Thanks now. Bye bye.
Not much to shout about for Damien this weekend with Derry out of the championship, but I'm sure he will be watching very closely. Donegal against Tyrone. That's 2 o'clock in Celtic Park, and it's going to be a packed stadium once again. But if you're not there, Tuin Highlands Way, we will have full live match coverage. The game starts at 2. We'll be live from 1:30 with the build-up. Other Gaelic Games fixtures this weekend to note in the minor championship, Donegal are in Park Esler on Saturday. 12 noon start as they take on Down. And Tyrone are playing Monaghan and Ardboe also at 12 o'clock. The Northwest Counties there looking to edge closer to the semi-finals. And in ladies football, there's also a minor championship final for Donegal taking place on Saturday at Silverbridge in Cavan. This is the platinum decider. Donegal are playing Cavan and 3 o'clock is the start time to that match. And the Donegal hurlers are also back in action on Saturday as well in their third game of the Nicky Rackard Cup and another one here in the competition for Donegal. And they will be getting closer to that final, which will be held on the June Bank holiday weekend. It's the last of the home games for Donegal as they take on Monaghan on Saturday. 3 o'clock is the throw-in time and we will have updates here on Highland from that tie. Donegal have 2 remaining games after this weekend and both are on the road away from home. Derry and Tyrone are on the road in the Christy Ring Cup this weekend as well. Both games on Saturday at 1 o'clock. Derry are away from home taking on Kildare and Tyrone are at Marchevic Park taking on Sligo. The matches at 1 and 3 o'clock respectively. Okay, we're going to take a commercial break here on The Score. Join us with more after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score, and at this stage of the programme we're going to recap some of the action from last night, where the Ulster Under 20 Football Championship was at the semi-final stage. Disappointment for Donegal, but there was joy for Derry and Tyrone, who both progressed to the final. With a recap, here's Mark Gallagher.
Yeah, thanks, Oisin. Derry overcame Donegal in last night's Ulster Under-20 semi-final at McCool Park, but there was some controversy at full time as Ryan McNichol's winning score for Derry came well into the fourth minute of injury time, which was over the time that was originally meant to be added on. Ryan Ferry was commentating on the game for Highland. This was his reaction at full time.
It's over, and Derry have won by 112 to 14 points, 19 seconds after the 3 minutes of allocated time. The Donegal mentors not happy with the linesman, and they might make their way to the referee. Derry have won by 112 to 14 points and are through to face Tyrone in the Ulster final. Donegal management team not happy with the way that game concluded there. Ryan McNichol, he came on at half time and scored the crucial last gasp point, 19 seconds past the 3 minutes of allocated time, and Donegal are devastated. They were 7-4 up at half time, but that goal from Oisin Doherty was crucial for Derry in the start of the second half. Donegal went 4 points ahead, and Donegal fought back. Kevin Lynch won a free, then scored the leveller. It looked like that was going to be enough to send the game to extra time, but there was just enough time for Ryan McNichol to kick over the winning point.
Yeah, that was Ryan Ferry at full time last night. And, well, the result did go the way of Derry. Manager Hugh McGrath said he was happy with the composure his side showed to go on and win the game late on.
This is a grade and age groups where football's quite pure, isn't it? And the two teams just go at it. We had a really subdued first half. It took us a while to get into our own skin. But once we did, we felt comfortable and confident that we could break the lines, we could break the congestion in and around the D. The start of the second half, we had the idea that we just wanted to go at them that wee bit harder, with a wee bit more pace. We did that. The introduction of Ryan helped that. But look, the biggest moment in the game was the goal, obviously, because it brought us back into the game much quicker and give us that belief to go on and get that 3 points ahead. We did stutter slightly. We tried to hold ball far too early in the game with far too much time left, and we got caught because Donegal are a good outfit. They topped their group for a reason. But it just goes to show the wherewithal about the group and the capability of the group and the belief in the group that they were able to pull that score out at the end. You know, whilst the sideline might have been slightly hectic, the guys in the pitch, they've been about the block, some of them. They've been to minor finals. They've achieved good things in football. And they knew that they were capable of moving the ball up the park, a couple of kick passes at pace. And Ryan, who we had told at the start of the evening, you're going to come in and you're going to finish the game, he absolutely finished the game in exactly the manner that we wanted to finish it.
At half-time, Donegal were in control. It's the sort of game that could have slipped away, because as you say, they weren't letting you in at all, and they were well set up. Was it just an energy thing in the second half? Because it seemed to just transform.
Yeah, look, you could say Donegal were in control, and they certainly were in the scoreboard. But a lot of their control came from errors on our part and allowing ourselves to be drawn into traps. The big thing for us, yes, there was a lack of energy, but there was just a lack of vision in terms of get that head up a wee bit sooner. The kick pass was on a lot of the time and we didn't use it. But there was also pockets of space which we just didn't attack. We attacked them much better in the second half, the introduction of Ryan and Cairn Chambers. We opened up that wee bit more space for Oisin Dock and we got the rewards. You know, I think Ryan ended up with at least 2 points, maybe three. We opened channels for Rory Forbes to get a couple of scores in the second half. Doc's goal, obviously, we created the space for that. So it was just, yes, we brought more energy into the game, just brought a bit more belief and a bit more work rate into what we were trying to do in an attacking sense.
You had a goal chance to seal it, hit the crossbar, and then Donegal came. I think two of their subs, Hugh, scored in that last spell, so they were coming hard at you.
Look, I have to admit, I missed the one that hit the crossbar. I was too busy shouting at our keeper at that point for giving a kick pass away. But look, they brought on a couple of lads, brought up the big guy at the top there and launched a couple of balls, and that's going to work. It's going to work in frantic stages of the game, and it did for them. But again, it points down to the fact that the group have been about the block. We've enough, you know, it sounds weird at under 20 level to say we've enough experienced heads, but we did, and it worked for us, and they were able to work that ball up the field towards the end and had the composure to settle himself before he took the score, Ryan, which says a lot about him, but says a lot about everyone in the group, because Ryan was on the end of that one, but it could have been Johnny, it could have been Oisin, it could have been a number of guys. So look, for us, We got over the line. We're very happy. That's what a semi-final is about. Will that level of performance beat Tyrone next week? Probably not. But that's for us to work on in the next few days. Get ourselves set. Get ourselves ready for the challenge ahead and make sure that we don't leave anything behind us.
Delight for Derry, but of course, huge disappointment for Donegal, who led by 7 points to 4 at half-time. Manager Sean Paul Barrett spoke to Ryan Ferry at full-time last night to give us his thoughts on the dramatic conclusion.
Listen, it was a tight game. We knew Derry were going to be a very good side. We knew that coming into it. Like, you know, that we always looked at they were going to be one of the 10 teams that you were going to have to match and beat if you were going to kind of go on and have success in this competition. I suppose we had a good enough first half there. We started well. We got a few points on the board and we went in, I suppose, comfortable enough at half time with 3 points up. We had a poor start in the first 5 minutes of the second half. We got the first point and then they went straight up and we got a goal. We're very disappointed in the way that Doherty got through, Ashton Doherty got through in there and put the ball in the net. That we should have had more contact on it. But anyway, that happens. Then they pushed on and they ended up getting, they were 4 points up. But we fought back, showed great courage, showed great determination. We made a few changes, and the changes helped. The list getting tired because it's a tight day out there today. Like, and they've done an awful lot of work. We got back into the game, we're back level. Injury time had been played. We suppose we were waiting for the final whistle, but then the referee let the play go on. We'd have disappointed there. I thought Oisin Caulfield was fouled out along the line, but the referee didn't give it, and they went up and got a score. So, anyway, it's just not our day.
The 3 minutes of allocated injury time had been played. Derry lost the ball in the corner. They moved it out towards the 65, and I think it was 19 seconds over that when Ryan McNichol kicked the winning point for Derry. Like, you feel you have genuine grievance there that, you know, that the game should have went to extra time.
Ah, yeah, listen, we were at that stage, we were kind of planning or hoping for extra time. But listen, the referee controls the game, and, you know, and probably had a good enough game. So there's some calls, like, the referee's human too, like, he's going to some calls that maybe we wouldn't have agreed with. But at the end of the day, it's down to us. We can't blame the referee, certainly not. It's down to us when they're on the pitch, like, to make the right decisions, to make the right tackles, and to take the scores when they get a chance. And today we just fell short.
Yeah, a disappointing evening, but, you know, there's loads of potential in this group. We've seen some of them are already involved with the senior squad, some will join up in the coming years, and I suppose it's just a case that they'll go back to their clubs now and keep doing the right things and keep wanting to play for Donegal and improve in the future.
Yeah, there's a lot of those lads. I think maybe four of them or something like that there. Four or five of them are overage next year. A lot of them are underage next year again. The good lads, and you said, like, there are seven or eight of them are in with the seniors there earlier in the year. I mean, like, Luke McGlynn there and Oisin Caulfield, two great players, like, you know, that are in, and we'll hopefully we'll have big season ahead again with the seniors going into the Ulster, into the semi-final and the final. But today is not our day. Today is a day that we're disappointed, and that's just it.
Well, Derry's opposition in next week's final will be Tyrone, who needed two goals to see off Monaghan in last night's other Ulster semi-final. Manager Paul Devlin says his team had to work hard to get the right result.
Paul, they were hard to break down. You know, that suppose Monaghan's approach there was a counter-attacking approach. 13 men, solid behind the ball at all times. And they were looking for the target man and maybe win a few breaking balls and get the frees for Mooney.
They're looking at that, surely. I thought Ben Hughes and Zoe Clark had a superb performance on the two of them. They scored a lot of scores from free kicks, you know, and some of them are fouled, but a few of them I thought myself a wee bit iffy enough, you know, whereas we weren't getting that at all. I thought times there, you know, a double bounce. But look, fair play to the corner and the referee in there. It was a tough game to referee. Hands are getting in, and look, you just get on and get on with the thing, you know. But I say, no, a lot of work put into it, and 1 point or 10 points is all we get in the final, you know.
Well, I think you had about 27 points to spare when you met them a couple of weeks ago, but you knew it wasn't going to be that close this time.
Knew it wasn't going to be that close. We all knew it ourselves. They came up to fulfil the fixtures, that was it. As I said to our lads, it's more or less the thin session that we had there with them, and it'll be a different ball game. And again, you look all over the year, Monaghan has been very strong with these games all year, so they have, you know, watched them playing again Derry, and they could have Derry turned over, so could have had young Mooney wasn't playing. So look, we just have to worry about ourselves where we're at and going forward, aye.
So now it's another final. You're going for a second title in three seasons. So it'll be another tough one in the final.
Look, now a bunch of players. Look, it's a big one for them. Just to say, we'll take every game as it comes to us, so we do, and they say it's improving and learning all the time, and that was a learning curve from the light there, from the night, you know.
Tight turnaround, just a week ahead of the final, so you could be doing no more.
It's the same for Derry as well, a quick turnaround, so look, more preferable game maybe for the two teams, maybe battle push towards the weekend, the Friday night, like a couple of years ago, but you know, we'll just have to embrace and go at it, aye.
That Derry and Tyrone Ulster under 20 final will take place next Wednesday evening, the 1st of May, at the Athletics Ground in Armagh, with a throw in time of 7:30 pm. Oisin.
Mark Gallagher there with the recap of the Ulster under 20 championship semi finals, which were played last night. Now, moving on here to the final section of the score programme tonight, and joining me in studio is one of the organisers and one of the committee members of the Northwest 10K, and that's Brendan Hervey-McDade. You're welcome, Brendan.
Thank you very much, Oisin.
Well, I suppose how's preparations going now for you? It's because, what, it's a week and a half out, less than a week and a half out.
Yeah, preparations are obviously at a high level at this stage. We're just doing the final checks and making sure everything's in place before the bank holiday Monday.
Yeah, and obviously you're encouraging people to register for this event online. And I know, talking to a couple of your colleagues in the committee last week, that the online numbers are actually up compared to previous years, and you're continuing to encourage those who plan to take part in the Northwest 10K to do it early.
Yeah, absolutely, Oisin. The online has been a great asset to us. The more people that register online, the less work it is for us at the weekend. So we'd encourage everybody to go on to the Facebook link or the website, and the link there to enter. And that just helps so much with administration. And it also helps when they call down that all their details are there. They just collect their bib number and their T-shirt and race back and away they go.
Yeah. But there still is those athletes and those people that are competing, be it walking, be it running, that like to be part off the weekend and like to get down and do their pre-register at the tent properly, and that facility is still available.
Yeah, we absolutely would cater for everybody that maybe hasn't access to online. We still do the pre-rage on Saturday at the community centre between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. and then also on the Sunday again at the community centre between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. And we'll also take registration on the morning of the event from 9 o'clock up to probably about 10:30. Because the race starts at 11.
Yeah. Is there still the same buzz around the build-up to the Northwest 10K? Because it's obviously one of the highlights of the year. It's one of the main events that's always marked in the calendar for athletes at the start of the year. And can you guys as a committee continue to feel that, I suppose, same buzz and warmth towards the event from athletes in the Northwest?
We do, yeah. I think the Northwest 10K is special because not only does it attract sort of the elite club runners, as well as the Fit for Life and fun runners, but it also then attracts people just to walk it, and then people out with their family. So it very much has that atmosphere about it, a fun day, but also people that want to, you know, get a PB or a course record, you know, it caters for all of that. And the course is accurately measured by Athletics Ireland Measure, so anybody that does a time on it can feel confident they have, you know, got their correct time for the 10K.
And I take it there's no changes to the route this year? You're sticking to the way it's been for the last few?
Yeah, no changes to it. Just with the different traffic lights at the Polestar, we've had to implement some new sort of traffic management in it. And there will be restrictions from sort of 10 o'clock right through to about 1. But we'll do our utmost to keep the traffic flowing as best we can. Yeah. But there will be pinch points along the course, obviously, with, you know, we're hoping maybe over 1,000 people out on the road. We'll have to control that.
Yeah, because the traffic management has now become a big part of this event, Brendan. Like if you go back 10, 15 years, yes, it was there, but the scale of the management now just to host the event has become immense, so it has.
It has been. It's become a major plan in itself, the whole health and safety plan as well as the traffic management plan. And we'll have people out at 6 o'clock in the morning doing a prep for it. And they'll be going, you know, right throughout the day, then controlling the different roundabouts and junctions, separating the runners from the live cars. So it's a major undertaking.
Yeah. Are athletes now tuned in more to the Monday event? Because it was Sunday for a very, very long time, and then the move was made to, to the bank holiday Monday. Have they all come round to the idea of it? Are they liking it? Are they?
Well, you get mixed reviews on that. Yeah. I suppose being a bank holiday Monday allows them, to take part on it. I think previously when it was on the Sunday, people liked to sort of do a little bit of celebrating on the Sunday night after completing their 10K, and then obviously had the Monday off to sort of recover again. But the way the traffic and the shopping hours now in Letterkenny, you know, we had to go with the bank holiday Monday to cater for that.
Yeah. Overall, I know going by the press releases and seeing the activity on social media, that the three charities are working very, very hard this year to raise money for the good causes.
Oh, they are. They've done quite a few pre-events, things like quizzes and night at the races, coffee mornings, football matches, and they've all worked together as a sort of one committee to try and raise as much funds as they can. Yeah. And that's very important because it also gets the awareness out there for each of their charities and awareness too that the 10K is on. So those pre-events are vital now to a success of the 10K. Yeah.
Over the years, 40 local charities have benefited from the 10K to the total amount of 932,000. You're not too far away from the million.
We're not too far away, and I think the three charities sort of saw that and wanted to try and see if they could push it to reach the million this year. It's obviously a big ask for them, but they've pulled out a lot of stops and tried their best to raise as much money pre-event. So if we get more people on the day and more people sponsoring people to do the 10K, it's achievable. And it'd be nice for them to get it this year.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic if you were to hit the million mark. Just finally wrapping up, Brendan, I know again we'll say it, we're a week and a half out from the event. What's the best advice that you can hand to people listening tonight that want to be part of this?
Yeah, I think number one is get registered. Click onto the online entry link and get your details in. That'll make it much easier for us and much easier for the people arriving because they can still be part of the sort of atmosphere. You can call down on the Friday or Saturday to collect your number and your race pack, and then just go out on the, arrive early in the morning of the race, and be prepared for whatever weather conditions is, and just enjoy the event.
Thanks for coming on, Brendan. I'm sure we'll be speaking again before the event on Monday week bank holiday Monday. Good luck with it.
Thanks very much, Ozzy.
Yeah, that's it from The Score then for tonight. I hope you enjoyed the programme. And if you did miss any of it, you will, of course, be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Next sport here in Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. Until then, from me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.